Welcome to another shoujo bonus episode where we talk about things that aren't the main shoujo episode that we're watching. And in this case, we continue our Jurassic Park watch through as we watch through all of the movies in the Jurassic Park series to much of our excitement. Today, we are watching Jurassic Park 2, aka The Lost World, Jurassic Park. The 1997 movie directed by Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, our boy, our guy.
That's right. Yep.
The one and only.
Yeah, this movie is not like the first one, basically at all.
No, but honestly, there's like no consistency within the entire franchise. So that's just starting us off on that trend.
On Wikipedia, they're like, oh, the original Jurassic Park trilogy. But I don't think of those movies as a trilogy.
No.
It's just like only three
movies
that came out.
Only because there's JP3 implying one and two were cohesive. But yeah, no, it's just not a very like, I don't know. They just were not concerned, I guess, back then about consistency. I don't know why. I feel like this is a big title. Why would they be so like blasé about it?
I don't know. Why is it always like trilogies? Because like, I feel like, well, things seem like trilogies to me. I always think of Lord of the Rings, but this is before that, right?
Yeah. Yes, it's before that.
So like, was there something going on with trilogies before? I mean, I guess Star Wars is a trilogy, but that's because it started with episode 4.
Yeah, they did. That was also a peculiar one. And also that was like a very, that was one plot being between with the same characters between them, whereas this is like a different cast for the most part in a different scenario technically each time, because I'm trying to think of like trilogies before
plot,
but
movie franchises.
I mean, there's like Alien, and then there's Aliens, which is like not that much, that's not
true.
Distinct enough of a difference.
And then there's Alien 3.
Yeah. Oh my god. It's
so
what?
I guess they also did a trilogy.
The sci-fi thing.
Yeah, you just don't know.
I don't know. We weren't as critical of their naming back then.
How many Rocky movies were there?
I have no idea. I've never seen a single one. I don't know. Isn't there like a Rocky 4 or something?
No, there's just Rocky 4 and Rocky 5.
There's no Rocky 1, 2, 3?
No, there is. It's just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, okay.
So that's not it. So, yeah, okay. I guess Jurassic... Terminator? There was a Terminator 3. And then there's, like, Salvation or something, right? So maybe that also
fits.
Was
it... Was Terminator Judgment Day or Terminator 2 Judgment Day?
It's Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
Okay, so it has the number on it.
And then Terminator 3, and then they stop using numbers.
Oh,
so that
okay. Well, but and Terminator 3 didn't have like a subtitle. It was just
it
Terminator
did.
3.
It was Rise of the Machines.
Okay, see, if you're going to do that, then do that.
Don't do
you
the
can
Lost
have both.
World colon
Don't just
Jurassic
pick
Park.
And choose between the entries. Yes.
That's because this. I don't think this was built. I don't think this was supposed to be a trilogy. I'm going to be real here.
No, it wasn't.
I kind of feel like not. This movie didn't even know it was going to there was going to be a sequel based on how the movie started and what the plot is.
And the book. The book is crazy.
Is it?
You know, if I remember correctly, the end of Jurassic Park, the book, freaking they blow up the entire island, like Costa Rica government blows it to smithereens, and Malcolm is like supposed very clearly died in the first book and then gets brought back as a character for the second one. So yeah, not ideal. And yeah, it's rough. I do have a correction corner.
Oh, okay. What are we correcting?
I've been too lazy to go back and fix it in our original bonus episode. I suggested a YouTube channel in our first Jurassic Park bonus episode, of which I now learned that channel sucks. The person who makes it sucks now. So don't
dang.
Watch that channel.
They got canceled.
Well, they were good, and then I was like, weird. We're ending our videos with like a lot more like religious undertones. And then I like Googled their name and religion, and then it was like, they just are terribly hating people openly on Twitter now. So I was like, God. Okay. So don't listen to past me. I didn't know any better. Now I know. Now you guys know.
Great.
They who shall not be named now.
Okay. Don't look at mysterious YouTube channel that nobody knows what it
is. Yeah, no one looked at. Yeah.
I don't remember anything we talked about in the last episode because it was so long ago.
Oh, it wasn't that long ago.
I guess
when Jurassic Park isn't
stuff,
what you
which is good.
Live and breathe, you forget it.
Well, it's a little like you don't really need to have you. Do you feel like you need to see Jurassic Park 1 to watch this movie? You kind of don't.
No, not really. Like, just the very beginning will be a bit confusing, but
yeah, but it's so
for the purpose of watching dinosaurs, you don't need the context.
That's true. I kind of feel like even like if you watch the first one, it makes everything Ian Malcolm does way more reasonable and make it seem like everybody else is like being absurd. Maybe we should get into it.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Go ahead. You get to do the plot summary this time.
Christ. Okay. See, I don't have this.
We're reading off of the Wikipedia.
Here we go, folks.
With some ad-libbing.
Yes. Okay. Let me close my eyes so I can get to that the place.
It's not easy.
Okay.
It's tough.
We'll see how well I do. You can just steer me clear if I'm losing it. Okay.
I don't really remember this movie.
We open on a, fancy ass yacht family just having lunch served to them by their staff on a beach on an island. And they have a young daughter and she's a little brat. And she's like, buzz off. I'm going to go do my own thing, and takes off as a sandwich. And then what does she encounter but a compy, our little tiny guy dinosaur, because this is a dinosaur island they have decided to stay on. And, it's one, it's harmless. Like, oh, you're so cute. Don't know what you are, but here's a piece of sandwich. And then, out of the woodwork comes like a 20 more of them, and then she's surrounded by them and kind of overwhelmed and freaked out, and she chucks the sandwich, and then that isn't enough. And then we cut to the parents and we hear the kids screaming, and so they like them and they like take too long to respond. Like they pause for a bit after the kid has
the kid
screamed.
Really wanders off for like a long way. And like, I don't know, you said she's like a brat, but this also just like seems like it sucks. Like your family just like,
yeah, that would be boring. You're the only
yacht.
Child surrounded
like,
by
I don't
adults.
Know. I haven't watched enough of Below Deck to know if this is a thing that people like to do where they just like to have a picnic on some random beach in the middle of nowhere, I guess.
I have no idea.
But like if I was a little girl, I would be like, this sucks. I'm going
yeah,
on a little
that's
adventure.
True.
Also, have we seen this dinosaur before? Was it in the first one?
No, I don't think it was.
Okay.
It wasn't. I guess this is its debut into the franchise.
Like a little guy.
I don't remember what the full name of it. But anyways.
Compsognathus.
This is why I will not be attempting to pronounce any of these. I will say, let's see. They run up and then we just cut to the mom screaming, of which we can only assume is a horror show of her daughter being torn up by tiny dinosaurs.
Dude.
And then we have the transition of her screaming to Ian Malcolm yawning like
I
the
literally,
mouth to
like I was watching this with some friends and I'm like, oh, that girl's dead. I'm like, dang, they killed that kid in the first 10 minutes. She's not dead, dear listener.
Nope. She made it, because we don't kill children in this franchise, which I
guess
we
do kill
fun.
Dogs, though. We'll get to that later.
Yes. Yes. And yes, Ian Malcolm on a subway in San Diego, where he currently resides. I don't know, professor and blah, 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 whatever. he's just hanging, reading a newspaper. He gets recognized by some, you know, jackass who's like, oh, you're the guy claiming dinosaurs. Wah. And that kind of opens us up to, you know, oh, Ian Malcolm. And we get this context as he is on his way to meet up with John Hammond at his estate.
So is he like not cool there. Anymore?
Ian Malcolm?
Is the implication that Ian Malcolm is not like a cool rock star mathematician anymore?
I don't know if like anyone actually thought he was, or just John Hammond because he's old as hell and he's wearing black leather and that just makes him a rock star in his eyes. But basically, we find out Ian Malcolm was the one person to speak out about the incident at the original park because everyone signed an NDA when they were there. But he, you know, feeling it was wrong to just take the hush money and not speak out about this, did to. And, you know, obviously, if you're the only person claiming there's dinosaurs that killed people, people are just going to make you out to be like a lunatic. And it kind of ruined his career and credibility in his field. And so, you know, that's been what he's been dealing with in the past few years.
Which is wild.
The original movie.
That is a wild thing to have happen. It's like nobody. OK, the thing is, in this movie, we do not talk about Alan Grant. Or
no!
Sadler.
Ellie Sadler.
At yeah. all. They don't make appearance. You're telling me they took an NDA and just didn't tell anybody that they watched dudes get eaten by dinosaurs? What is happening? They're just not mentioned at all.
They're just tired.
It's extremely
or
weird.
They need that dig site money.
It's like, it's so weird to be that like, ah, yes, Malcolm became the martyr of the Jurassic Park incident. Because he's the only one who spoke out. And I'm like, I feel like he's the first guy who would take the NDA. Yeah,
you
it's
think?
Like so not him. No.
Well, right? It feels and this is a big issue for a lot of people that are fans of the franchise. Ian Malcolm in the first movie versus Ian Malcolm in the second movie. You know, you can see the similarities, the dark humor, but like the man behind the jokes is much or is pretty different, you know.
Yeah,
he's not as carefree. Everything seems to be with a lot more intent behind it now, which we'll talk about. He had kids already, so and it's not like he just
That's
recently
a
had a child
reveal.
To make him act like that. Well, he said in the first movie, like Grant asked him if he's married, and he's like, yeah, occasionally. So always on the prowl for the next ex, Miss Malcolm. So obviously he's been in a lot of marriages, and I'm assuming just each of those kind of like happened to have a kid. It's stated that he has several children. The casting always confused me as a child for this, but because it's not specific. There's like one reference. We'll get to it when we get Kelly's
yeah,
intro.
Yeah, sorry,
but
keep going.
Basically, yep, we're at the estate where we see a bunch of attorneys and a guy who we learned to be our main antagonist, a little shit. What's his name again?
Peter Ludlow.
Peter Ludlow, little guy with round glasses, is John Hammond's nephew, and since the incident, you know, it's been like obviously probably like tense at InGen, and then this accident that just happened with the girl on the beach where we learn that she did survive and she's fine, blah blah blah, but that this is InGen's excuse to take control of the company from John Hammond. And I had to look this up because I never right again first time I'm watching these with closed captions, but they say chapter 11, something or other, which I had to like Google what that means company wise, which I've already forgotten what that meant. But
like a type of bankruptcy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Hammond's losing control of it. His nephew is, you know, freaking jumping on board the coattails. And I don't know why you would want to get involved in this. But anyways. He pokes and prods at Malcolm. So clearly he's been keeping, he's who we learn all these, like the NDA stuff from. Malcolm goes up to meet Hannah. Well, we run into the Tim and Lex, our briefest of cameo, kid, the grandkids of John Hammond.
Those have been 4 years, right?
Yeah. So
they're 4 years older, yes. Supposedly.
Uh-huh. So they're significantly older. They're both, you know, Ludlow makes a point to say even Tim and Lex, you know, abided by the NDA, blah, blah, blah. So we get a brief glance at them and then never again in the entire series.
Oh, really? That's it? That's the last we see of them?
It's like, it's the same as like the vacation movies where Griswold children are different actors and different ages and like very confusing ways. Kind of like the kids just don't matter, I guess. But no, never again.
Dang.
Only the Jurassic World trilogy has a child who returns. But
wow.
Anyways, he goes up, talk to Hammond. Hammond's kind of talking through all this stuff. And he's like, basically, you know, I learned a lot in the years and what happened. And, you know, I didn't tell you this and we didn't know at the time because we thought it was going to be one movie. But there is a second island with dinosaurs on it called Site B.
This is an insane plot point. But they're just like, oh, yeah, our backup island, Site B, the other place, the place where we cloned the dinosaurs. There was another island just off screen. I was like losing my shit watching this. I was just like, bro, are they serious?
Yes, because the original movie takes place on an island called Isla Nublar. And this one is taking place on Isla Sorna. And the, I guess, kind of, I'm trying to think. I might be adding context that actually is revealed in Jurassic Park 3. But basically, at some point in the series, they say that it was the island where they like bred the animals and then they would then put them in the park on the main
island. One.
Even though we see
them
breeding happening. Yeah. We see it. So I don't, whatever. But
maybe that's like the little display. Maybe they're the thing
reject
they have.
Island.
You know how like Disney World or whatever, they'll be like, this is where people make little, you know, this is where they do some drafting, but like, that's not actually where they do all the drafting. You know what I mean? Like, that's not where they're really
even
doing
though
this. That's the
they
display
ask
one.
That, even though they ask, the lawyer asked,
say it explicitly.
Yeah.
And it's like, why is what's his face in Jurassic Park 1 stealing from that island? Shouldn't he be stealing from the other island?
Yeah, I don't. Whatever. Well, fine. Maybe. Okay, we'll get to it. Okay, so, and he's like, I realize, blah, 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 whatever. We got, you know, I don't want them to like, defile this natural ecosystem that has developed over these years on its own, because right, we had the lysine contingency, so you would think all the animals would die, but by God, they're thriving, or whatever he says. So basically they're all like living on the island because they have like geothermal something or other, like seeing where they're grouping geographically and this and that. And so he has assembled a team to go and document so that he can then make a case to preserve the island ecosystem rather than, you know, InGen come and tear it to pieces for profit. And so he's got basically introducing us to our cast. We have a, I don't remember the exact title, but basically we have a, you know, photographer, like equipment specialist, paleontologist, and then he asks Malcolm to come and do it since he's been there before, this and that. And Malcolm's like, you know, no, absolutely not. And I'm also going to contact these people you're trying to send to their death. You know, and he grabs the files from Hammond. He's like, who'd you say the paleontologist was? And Hammond's like, I want you to know, she came to me. Leave it to you, Malcolm, to have affiliations.
Dude.
Liaisons even with the best in the field.
This entire sequence is so crazy. Because it's like, so like Hammond's kind of a villain, right? Like in the first one a little bit, because he's like the idiot who like put this all together. Like he doesn't seem like he's like evil, but he's definitely like not a great guy. So the fact that he shows up in Jurassic Park 2, and his plan is basically the plan, like, it's freaking, like, the guy in Twin Peaks who owns the hotel who's like, my plan is to get someone else from buying the mill. I'm gonna protect this endangered bird so that they can't do business. Like, it's just, like, business espionage, like, dressed up as, like, ecological caring about stuff. So his son doesn't take over this company. It's he's just a bad guy. Well,
Malcolm calls it out too. He's like, that, you know, wow, capitalist to naturalist in just 4 years. Dude, that's something.
Malcolm's like, response to all of this stuff is so funny because he's just good. This is so dumb. He's like, this is the plot of this movie. This is the dumbest shit. Why would anybody agree to do this?
But
then we learn why.
Yes, it turns out the paleontologist is Malcolm's girlfriend, Sarah Harding, of which, for people who don't notice, Harding is actually the name, the last name of the vet taking care of the Triceratops in the first movie. That's Dr. Harding, a veterinarian. And I think in the book it's addressed that she is related to him, but they do not mention that at all in the movies. But basically, she's the cool girlfriend who, like, goes and travels and does all this dangerous stuff. And so somehow, I don't know why we're like, oh, you hang out with lions. You can handle a dinosaur. That's basically the same thing.
Everything she says is so crazy. But, like, we don't see her for a while because she's already there. She's just there by herself.
Yep. And, yep, you can't stop it, Malcolm, because she's already there on her own. And so Malcolm's like, we're going, and this is no longer an expedition, it's a rescue operation or something.
The, like, whiplash of the first movie being like, we got all these security things in places, we, like, made our own little theme park, it's like, you know, we got these redundant systems, Samuel L. Jackson's here to do security, don't worry about it. And then the second movie, Hammond's like, all right, fuck it, I sent 4 people to this island with basically nothing. One of them's there with literally nothing. I don't even know how she got there. And that's the plan.
I have no idea.
It's wild. Yes. Until everyone's just roaming free. We're not even pretending like, like there was any sort of apparatus. It's not even like, locate the generator to turn back on the fences. They're like, nope, just, like, go take pictures of them or whatever. I don't know. Don't die, I guess. 4 of you's enough. Mm. And he's also like, I got these people here because I bribed them all. I wrote massive checks. Yep. Otherwise, nobody would do it.
Well, because I don't think he told them. We find out that Sarah knows because she heard the stories Malcolm told of his experience at the original park. So she knows what she's in for. But the other two, I think he did not tell them specifically what they were seeing. And they were like, I'm not going to go if you don't tell me. And so he just gave them a huge check so they'd go without
knowing
what they were getting
into.
He's
a villain.
He's just careless and, like,
it's terrible.
Thinks nothing he's doing is wrong because he's paying people. It's bad, but
it's
right. So now the movie takes off. We cut to a workshop where we meet Eddie Carr,
played by Vince. No, he's the other one. Nope. Who's Eddie Carr? Carr is played by
Eddie Carr is the sweet baby angel. He does not, you know,
Richard Schiff.
He did not deserve it. Yes. And we have the photographer pull up, and it's, go ahead, Joe.
And that's played by Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, he was cute, like, when shit, he was young. Yes, yes. People forget he's in this movie. I think he's cute in this movie. But he's kind of a rascal.
His
basically
character makes
very
little sense to me. We learn stuff about him, like, later on that's just like, what? But in the beginning, he's just like, yeah, I'm a photographer. I'm here. You know, I wanted to get like a Pulitzer or something, you know. I'm here for the fame. And it's like, okay, man. Yep.
He's in Greenpeace because there's a bunch of chicks there.
Yeah. So
he's a scumbag player. Yes.
At the beginning.
Yes. And Ian is having them go sooner than they are planning to. So Eddie Carr is like, I don't know. This has been, you know, field tested or anything. And then as they're all talking, freaking Kelly, Malcolm's daughter, for some reason, he has her get dropped off here. And like, I don't know why, but basically, I guess it was her turn to be with her dad, or her mom was like, I'm hanging. Peace out. I'm hanging out with my boyfriend. Your dad's going to watch you. And then your dad has this emergency thing he has to do. So he's like, I'm going to have a babysitter for you. And she's like, she sucks. She doesn't even have a PlayStation or whatever.
She's like, how come your girlfriend have can't a Sega? Do it?
Yes.
And he's like, well, she's busy.
Like, yes. Because normally Sarah would watch her. But yeah, they do shout out to Austin, Texas. They're like, why can't I just be your field assistant like I was in Austin? And he's like, it's the same as Austin. So they kind of end it as like she's reluctant and huffy. But he's like, sorry, kid. Goes back. And then we cut to them being on the boat, taking all their vehicles and stuff.
Well, we also learned
the
some
island.
Stuff. We learned some stuff before we cut in the boat, which is that Ian's not a very good dad, which led me to believe that maybe this is another movie about becoming a good dad. And I'm just like, is every Jurassic Park movie just about learning to be a dad? And the answer is kind of.
Kind of, honestly, yes.
We learned that she got kicked off of the, or she didn't, she got cut from the, like, gymnastics team.
So it's, like an attentive dad, like, you're not, but she's definitely weaponizing these things, like, as, like, counterpoints to what he's saying.
Yeah, which, she's like, you never hang out with, you never pay attention to me, dad. You're just too busy being a disgraced mathematician.
Yes, so there's like a little bit of tension between them, but you know, she just wants to hang out with her father, and I can see that being, well, as someone who grew up with divorced parents, I always had the mindset of like, mom is home base, and I'm more like productive at this situation, and then dad can, you know, he can hang out with as many girlfriends as he wants because he's alone and I feel bad for him. But I think she's holding him more accountable to being a father than I ever did.
Yeah, I guess this is an interesting way of doing it.
Mm-hmm. And she does, you know, does not resemble Malcolm. They don't say.
Oh, yeah. So she's played by Vanessa Lee Chester. And she, do they ever give an explanation? Because she is like African American.
Yes.
He's Jeff
Jewish?
Goldblum is not.
Yeah. Yes. I'm not sure what that is. But she says a line like, you sure do like having kids, but you don't want any, or you don't want to be a father to them or something like that. I don't know.
What is
more
this?
More than three is a lot to me, so maybe that many. I don't, obviously not children with her mother, separate mothers for the kids, or else they would come along with her. And in the book for this, there's two children. And one, I think, is Kelly, but she's not Malcolm's daughter. She's like a different character's like student. I guess maybe Steven Spielberg just loves father dynamics.
Well, that is like
or
a
something.
Whole deal. He is the parents issue guy.
Yes. Oh, is he? Is that like a thing?
Yeah, that's a thing.
Gotcha. Okay.
It was just extremely funny to be like, this is also about that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But I guess it has to be about something. Because let me tell you, it's this whole
it
corporate
can't just
thing,
be cool dinosaurs.
This whole like thing about, oh, we gotta like spread the word of the, we gotta protect the dinosaur island, does not matter and basically never comes up ever again.
Okay. Let's see. We move on to, yeah. So they're on the boat. They've got the captain and he's all, you know, can only speak in Spanish. And so Vince Vaughn, being a globetrotter, whatever, is like interpreting for the rest of them. I don't know. I feel like if here in Texas is like a lot of people know basic Spanish, and I feel like California would be a similar situation, but whatever. Basically, this is just to set up the like, ooh, spooky island because
it's like, it's the island where everybody dies. I'm not going there. Are you kidding me?
Basically, the five deaths is the name of this series of islands. And we also get Eddie Carr talking about this trank gun he has and how it's super powerful and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so they have a trank gun. They have like a car. They have this like big van, but that's like their whole kit, right?
Yeah, they have like a huge trailer and two like SUVs.
Yeah.
But yeah, the trailer is, you know, I don't know, all camo and
which like is very funny because like, who are they hiding from?
Well, the also dinosaurs? They state like, oh, we're just here to observe. We're not here to interact. But I'm like, this is like a lot of vehicles to be like staying. It's like a huge trailer to be taking up space on the island. And
it's also like, this is all they ever have, which means that Harding just went in there with nothing.
She just parachuted onto the island or something.
Like, yeah, she's just in there.
She just got her in her lucky bag.
But yeah, does it just cut to them like in like looking for Harding? Was there like a
Basically they're on the island. I guess they must have dropped off the stuff. They are looking for her now, the three of them.
Yep.
And they spot her, and she's like, shh. Leave me alone. I've got the shot. Okay, I gotta take like the photo. Or what?
Screaming her name and like,
oh my god, yeah, this is funny.
Up. And then we just pan and she's right there. And it's like, bro, we've been screaming your name for like 30 minutes.
That's true. She's just ignoring them. Well, it's funny because they're yelling Sarah, and then Vince Vaughn's character goes, Sarah Harding. And Malcolm's like, how many Sarahs do you think are on this island?
Yeah, yeah. Malcolm has a lot of good one-liners still.
He does. It's very good. And yeah, so she starts yammering on because she's trying to do the like, I won't let Ian get his whiny complaints in because I'll just bulldoze the conversation with all my little nature, you know, blah, 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 why I'm here. And then she grabs, okay, Nick is the name of Vince Vaughn's character. She grabs Nick's camera because it's a fancy new one, and then she takes off again because there's a baby stegosaur that she goes to take a photo of. And so the three guys are hanging back watching, you know, and Malcolm's like, you know, don't touch. Why she got to touch? And she goes and pets the dinosaur, even though she's the one saying we're not supposed to interact. And then she immediately
she's like a disaster woman in these first thing here.
She's very hectic and stresses me out thinking about being her. And yeah, and then the camera like malfunctions, makes a noise. It startles the baby. The baby starts crying. And then the family group, you know, stampedes in and circles the baby to protect them. And then, you know, a little scene where they're swinging at her and she's like dodging and stuff. And, you know, we get out of that. And
she doesn't die. She almost dies.
Nope. Yes. Yep. Well, a lot of people almost die, but don't, because they have the power of being a main character.
Oh, well, not everybody.
It makes them immune from, discuss in a bit.
What? Her whole deal, like when she's talking to like Ian after this, where she's just like, oh, you just never want me to do anything fun. You're just like my dad. You're just like so lame. And it, like, you were telling me all these dinosaur stories and I wanted to be there, but I wasn't allowed to be there. Like, what's your problem, man? Why are you so on edge?
It feels like a relationship where he's significantly older than her.
It feels like she's like a little kid. It's ridiculous.
Yes. Yep. Let's see. Yeah. So, right. They're talking about that kind of stuff at camp. Turns out.
Yeah, they go back to the
goddamn
camp.
Kelly has a fire cooking, and it's like, oh, I didn't have dinner ready for you when you got back. That's not gonna smooth over the fact that you are a stowaway on the trailer to this danger island.
Yeah.
God. Like, and so Malcolm now has two nightmares to deal with.
Yes,
his girlfriend his daughter both like rebelling against him and his good advice to get the hell out of there.
Like, it's so funny. I was, like, losing my mind watching this because it's, like, both of them are, like, Ian, you're just no fun. You just try to control everything. You're just, like, you don't ever let us, like, you never let me be ourselves. You know what I mean? Like, we're just out here trying to have a good time. And Ian's, like, we're on Murder Island. I, like, had significant trauma from the first movie that I talked about at length to you guys. And then you're, like, oh, I want to go to dinosaur. I want to get killed by a dinosaur. What is happening? I'm just, like... This is the way it's being like presented, where it's just like, oh, Ian's just no fun. He's just like too authoritative. He just needs to loosen up. And it's like, yeah, but you're on Get Murdered by Dinosaurs Island. Like, I kind of feel like all of his reactions just make perfect sense, where he's like, this entire expedition is stupid and pointless, and we're all gonna die if we stay here, which is just true.
Yes. I can see that this is just an extreme situation. Otherwise, I can see Sarah's point of like, you know, I'm a pretty independent person. We're dating, but that doesn't mean I need you to look after me and protect me. You know, like I can do it on my own. How about you help me with the things I actually want your help with and not the things that you think I need help with that I don't. But in this situation, it's just a bad call to die on that hill.
He's acting like they like stopped somewhere on a road trip unexpectedly and they aren't on Get Murdered Island on Death Island.
Yes. Yep. Yep. And yeah, so that's weird. And this is the scene where we get Nick and Eddie look at each other and they see Kelly and they're like, do you see a resemblance? And the other one shrugs. And that's the only acknowledgement we get of the obvious difference between father and daughter.
That's pretty funny.
They do all that, and then they are. He's like, I'm going to get you off this island. And Ian has his relationship with the satellite phone, where it just never works for him. And so he's trying to call the boat, who is like on reserves, waiting for them to, you know, be extracted. You know, expected to be days from now, but he's trying to call them now. But then we hear helicopters, and we see a bunch of in-gen helicopters carrying lots of vehicles and equipment, and then Eddie Carr with his little voice crack is like, why would Hammond send them? We haven't even got, or we just got here or something. Like, why would he send others when we haven't even started? And that is because they're not sent by Hammond, but sent by and accompanied by freaking Ludlow, punk ass nephew, who's a dumbass. And we immediately cut to them having all their vehicles out and they're on a game trail prepping to catch some dinosaurs immediately. And so we see, you know, sad, like a bunch of dinosaurs running and all these vehicles like with like slip lead kind of things capturing resistant dinosaurs, and we are introduced to Roland Tembo,
big game hunter Roland Tembo.
Yes, which is like a whole thing. It's like always a big game hunter, huh? Because that's basically what Muldoon in the first one was. So
exactly the same.
They just default to that being your go-to guy. And he's the one brought on to lead the whole thing. And he's like, I don't want to hear your bad ideas. I'm just, you know, you just pay me and I'll take care of it. You just sit back. And, you know, I don't want like monetary prize. I want the right to hunt a bull T-Rex because I'm just a macho guy who just is like, I like killing animals. They're cool and, you know, haven't been on the planet forever. That's what I want to do. And yeah, so he's calling the shots. He's got like his second in command. And there's a few other characters. We see this asshole. I've never even remembered his name. There's this punk on the team who like is getting a water break and this compy comes up to him. And he's like, oh, they're not afraid of people. And so he like tases it to be like, well, they are. They should be now.
Yeah.
Just that's setting up a whole like C plot of him and Compy relationship that we'll
get a lot of time. And this guy is played by Peter Stormare, who's the guy in Fargo. So I'm like, oh, this guy. But then it's just like, he doesn't really do anything. It's just like a weird little C plot that just kind of happens. And I'm like, okay.
Yes.
A lot of stuff in this movie just kind of happens. And I'm like, all right. I will say this scene where they're like hunting down these dinosaurs, they have this cool thing where they have the cars and all of the seats like extendo out.
Oh, yeah.
And that was really fun.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We've got some fun little, you know, like, oh, there's this dinosaur and that dinosaur because they have their own little paleontologist on the team. And and then we see Roland and his second in command take off because they're going to go track the Rex. They find a nest with a T-Rex infant in it. So they, instead of staying there, decide to take the infant, injure it so that it's calling for help, and plant it right at the outskirts of their camp, where they now have caged dinosaurs from the earlier hunt. So they've got a whole setup. He's in a tree watching over, waiting for the T-Rex adults to come for the infant. And in the meantime, Ludlow, our little guy, is doing a fancy remote conference call presentation to the like board of Engine, you know, talking, basically explaining to us why they're there in the first place, of which is that before Hammond set up a whole island for this, that he had originally started building a park in San Diego. And basically they get the dinosaurs and they could have it up and running in like months, which is crazy.
There's just no way this works with the first movie, because it's like, oh, what's this super secret thing they're doing? What could they possibly be doing at this park? And it turns out they had a backup park just sitting in San Diego with like the Jurassic Park logo everywhere. How did nobody know this? This doesn't make any sense at all.
Maybe it's just the model for the final plan and they didn't have the signage on it yet.
I guess.
Right? Like a quick, think of a reason why they would try to bring these dinosaurs to the mainland. And this is the reason they come up with. Mid presentation, though. Oh, no, just kidding. While all this is going on, we cut to our nature team with Malcolm and gang. Looking, because they had seen what happened on the game trail and were disgusted by what was happening to the dinosaurs. And so they followed them back to their camp. It's nighttime now, so they're all stealthy. Nick is like, Hammond told me these guys might be here. I thought we would be gone before then, but he sent a backup plan just in case. And they're like, what's the backup plan? And he says, me, because I'm a cool guy.
This is and insane. So him, this is the him, craziest thing that happens in this movie.
Are you sure? I feel like you're gonna say that a lot.
This is like the most the point craziest thing where it's like, so far Nick
this
has
very
just been
much
like,
changes the plot.
Nick has just been like, oh yeah, I'm just doing this, like I'm just a guy, like I'm just trying to get some money and do some stuff here, you know, I'm in it for the girls, ha ha ha. And then he's like, no, I really feel for these dinosaurs. I'm gonna go free all these dinosaurs and probably get all these guys killed because Hammond told me to do that. Why would Hammond tell you to do that?
I don't know.
I'm a spy. Like, what's happening?
I think he just must be like a very radical, like, and Roland calls him out on it, but just a radical, like, you know, animal.
I feel like this whatever. Comes out of nowhere
and
like,
just
so far,
does
like,
it in a vigilante way,
so blasé about everything happening, and then he's just like, well, time to go commit some crimes, and it's just why they cause all the problems. I mean, the thing is, right, like if they had just left this, everything would have been fine if they just didn't intervene here, because they could still keep filming, they could still do the whole plan. They just go back and everything's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But because they do this,
I guess just
literally
everybody
dies.
I guess. Is that so bad?
It's not good.
Yes. No. Anyways, So the game plan is Nick and Sarah are just going to go down there and bust out all the dinosaurs. So they like go on a rampage on camp, interrupting Ludlow's presentation.
Which they do extremely easily, like no problem.
Yes, it's just a triceratops come through. And yeah, so chaos, mayhem, you know, somehow a Jeep gets like chucked into the air and explodes in the tree that Roland was in. And so they have to jump. And so they're all distracted and stuff. And while that's happening, Nick grabs the infant T-Rex. He doesn't know what it is. He's just like, oh, poor baby with a broken leg. I'm going to grab it. And then Sarah's like, oh, my God, do you even know what that is? Like, oh, man, Ian's not going to like this because I don't know. Now they're not at camp and they're not watching this happening. So they, I guess, just go back to their setup, their trailer with the infant. And it's crying. And Sarah's like, we gotta set the leg. So she's got freaking ultrasound and all this stuff. And Nick's helping secure the infant. And Kelly's like, somehow she has the know-how. She's a little nature animal behavior enthusiast, but she's like, other animals are gonna hear this. And that freaks her out after seeing all these dinosaurs just go on a rampage. So she's telling her dad, like, get me out of here. And so he comes to Eddie. He's like, what we got? What can we do here? And we have the high hide, which is basically just like a platform lifted up in the treetops to be disguised.
Yeah, it's like those things.
Doesn't seem that secure or safe.
It's just like those things they use to like repair power lines. Like it's just like a cherry picker. Like what are we doing?
A big version of that. Yes. And so.
No way a dinosaur could knock this over. It's impossible.
Yeah. Yeah. Eddie and Malcolm and Kelly go up on it. He's trying to reassure her. It's raining and all this stuff.
It sucks.
And so
the dinosaurs are loose.
Yes, he goes back.
This seems really funny, though. Like, they have some good comedy stuff in these scenes.
Yeah, they do. Yes.
Where, like, he's going back down, and, like, what's his face? Eddie's like, you're going to have to rappel.
Eddie.
And he's like, all right, well, he's like, don't worry, Kelly. I'll go make sure everything's all good. We're going to all be okay. And then he just, like, falls.
Yes, he did not do a good job. So we just hear a crash.
He falls, like, two stories.
Yep. Yeah, there's so many good like zingers in this. Why I like it. There's just a lot of good humor in it.
There's a part where they're doing the surgery or whatever on the Velociraptor. Mm-hmm. And
the spit.
Yeah. Sarah's like, oh, Nick, like spit out, because he's like chewing gum and she like needs it to seal something. And he just spits into her hand. And she's like, your gum, dude.
Yeah. It's so funny. It's just a dumbass. They're getting the leg all whatever. Malcolm gets back to the trailer, is like, we gotta get this thing out of here. And then thunk, dunk, you know, whatever, we hear huge footsteps, and not only one but two adult tyrannosaurs come out of the forest.
Yep.
On both sides of the trailer, eyeballing their baby. And
goes to show that what's his face, Tembo, who was like, we'll use the baby to lure out the parent. That he was right. He knows what he's talking about.
Yes,
because that is what happened.
And he's just going based off common knowledge, where Sarah's like, see, yeah, this proves it. Because we thought they're just cold blooded and left their infants to die, but that's like her whole thing is that look, they do have. You know, paternal.
This is like such a weird thing, because it's like, oh yeah, everybody knows that we extrapolate dinosaur behavior based on fossils. It's like, how heated is this debate?
I don't know. We're all just guessing. I guess this is our attempt at keeping like the interesting, or at least what I liked about the original movie is like animal behavior and stuff into this one. Or like, for some reason, she's so passionate about it. I don't know. I've never had like a paper that I'm like pushing to get the thumbs up from my colleagues. So I don't know what the pressure's like there. But so Sarah, you know, they help her step out of the trailer door to drop off the infant that I guess could just walk now. And they close the door. The adults escort the infant back where they came from. And the team's like, ah, phew, that was close. And then
glad this was the whole thing.
Yes. And then huge shove on the trailer. So they all get knocked to their feet. And it turns out the T-Rexes, they're back with a vengeance. They're not just, they didn't come to get their kid. They came to eliminate the threat altogether. And so we know how T-Rexes love to munch on vehicles from the first movie. So they're just kind of,
they love biting electronics. It.
Yes. And, you know, they, it's like a two piece trailer. And so, one of the carts of the trailer gets pushed over the edge. And so they're like, oh my God, they're trying to push us off the cliff. And, I think after they do that, the T-Rexes take off again.
Yeah. It's like, and they knock it off. So it starts falling off the side of the cliff and then they just leave.
Well, yes. So I guess they must have just been like, okay, we showed you trailer.
Good enough, yeah.
That's the end of that. Eddie Carr and I guess poor Kelly were watching this whole thing. And so he's like, stay here, kid. And comes to the rescue with his little SUV. He jumps in the trailer to ask. Or let's see. When the trailer got pushed over the ledge, Sarah, Nick, and Malcolm were in that part. And yeah, so they
the back.
Bell onto the back cool. window. Yeah, it is a cool one. So, yeah.
So, happening is the trailer is falling off the back. It's also pouring down rain. So, everything is mud. Mm-hmm. So, it's slipping
Does
in the
not
mud.
Help.
And they yep. try to, get up to the first cart, but by moving around, they push it off in the back. So, it starts, hanging off the back, kind of. Meanwhile, Eddie is trying to tether it to tether the trailer from not falling. So he first ties a yep. rope around a stump.
Oh, I had a note saying Joe must be like, that's a bad knot from your Eagle Scout days, being like, Eddie, what are you doing?
Yeah, because I think this is what happens.
Were good knot?
I believe the first thing that happens is and this is where we get the scene where Sarah is on the glass that's shattering or whatever. It's about to break. And they're trying to get the camera and all the other stuff so it doesn't shatter and break the glass so she falls to her death down this cliff. So Eddie's able to get a rope and he throws it in there, I believe. So they can kind of grab onto it.
And yeah, he gets the rope tied to the tree, throws that down for them to climb up, and then
Ben connects
the car yes. to the trailer to try to keep to it from falling over in the meantime. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so he's revving the engine going backwards, skidding all over the place. Meanwhile, I have a note here that the soundtrack is great during this entire sequence.
The soundtrack in this movie is so good. I think my favorite Jurassic Park song is actually one from this movie and not the first one. It's very good music in this. And yeah, it's a very good, fun scene. Still able to pepper humor in there.
Yeah. But the knot slips.
Yeah. How does it go for Eddie?
So the rope slips off the tree and he has to go retie it. And then he pulls the thing up and they're trying to climb out really slowly, but it's not really working. And then the T-Rexes come back. For some reason, they're back.
Well, I guess they must have just heard the sound and were like, oh, threat is not eliminated. Let's go back and finish the job. And we have Eddie and his vehicle.
He tries to get his little tranquilizer gun, but it's caught under some net or something.
Oh, my God. Yep. Yep. And so he's bless his heart.
He's still
everything he
can
to save them. Yes. Yeah. He's crouched down because they tore off the top of the car and he's doing his best to keep doing it, even though he's about to die. So very noble. And then when he gets plucked out of the car and then probably the best death in the entire series, the second T-Rex grabs the other half of him and they pull him apart.
Yep. He gets,
so, he's dinner for two.
And then the entire trailer falls.
Yes, because the car goes with it. Mm-hmm. Yes, because they are tethered to the tree.
So they're all just holding onto the rope as the whole thing falls around them.
Yes. Yep. And then all that explodes at the cliff's side. And
then it all blows up. Yeah. And then.
Yeah.
And that's when it became clear to me that this movie
somehow. Yes.
Is really just a collection of action sequences loosely tied together by a plot. My note here is like, it says, it's like they took the last 20 minutes of Jurassic Park 1 and just turned the whole thing into a movie. Because basically from here, it's just nonstop, like, action sequences with like a couple minutes to get you from one set piece action sequence to another.
Yeah.
Also, this is the first death that is like of a guy you liked.
Yeah, that's true.
Because everybody in Jurassic Park 1 was like kind of like a shithead or like kind of had it coming, you know what I mean?
Yep.
But Eddie was just a cool guy.
Nice guy.
Who like did everything right.
Yep. Tragic.
Freaking Nick saved this dinosaur for no reason.
Yeah.
They could have just left it there. True. They could have just freed it and then just kept going. But they had to go and save this thing for no reason and got one of their guys killed. Awful. Terrible vibes on this team.
He does not feel bad. Well,
there's no reflection at all on what is happening or why.
So they eventually, I would have just died. I would not have been able to climb up that rope. There's no way. I just fell off. They get up Sarah's first, and she gets right up on the level ground, the top ground, and then has a hand reach out to help her up. She looks in disbelief, and we see it is the Roland crew are here helping them up and, you know, seeing the aftermath of what happened. And so everybody's up. Kelly comes, so she's good. They're reunited with her dad. And basically saying, you guys, you know, messed up our equipment. Obviously, your equipment's gone. We're screwed.
Dude, I'm like, they're just going to execute them right here, right? Like, they're just going to shoot them all in the head because they're like, oh, you're the reason why we're all going to die. But no, everyone's just cool. They're like, whatever. We're a team now. Let's go on like a little team expedition.
Well, yes. Roland, Nick starts doing the whole, well, he's, you know, I don't disagree asshole. With him, but it's so unnecessary in this moment of like egging on, it's, you know, like, oh, you guys just came to, you know, strip the place and blah, blah, blah. And then
it's so wild.
Roland's like, you're that green or Earth first bastard, aren't you? And yeah, so clearly Nick Van Owen is infamous, which, like, amongst hunters, probably. Those are probably the poachers, maybe.
Why is this the first time we're learning about this? Also, why is he like...
Well, because they have like a whole little thing throughout the rest of the movie, kind of a...
But this also just feels like man comes out of nowhere. Because it's like, he's talking shit about like, oh, you just like hunting stuff. You just want to make all these problems. And I'm like, dude, you can't be saying that. There's like 13 of them and you're the reason why they're in this situation. You're the reason why Eddie died. You're the problem.
Yeah, that's
Nick.
True.
Like, you're right morally about these things, but all of your actions have been disastrous.
Yes. Well, yeah, they Roland somehow knows something for once and is like, there is a old work site with that runs off geothermal energy. So they have like a generator, blah, blah, blah. We can call for help there. And so Roland's like, well, the Rex just ate, so they won't come for us immediately. You know, and Alka's like, are you talking about Eddie? That man, he saved our lives. Have a little respect. And Roland's like, his worries are over now. And
Roland's
yeah,
like, I don't
you
know that
Nick's
guy.
Like, yeah, only humans hunt for, you know, not
which is not true,
purposes.
By the way.
Yeah, there's like,
we know that animals know, definitely like just kill each other for fun.
Yes.
Dolphins yep. kill each other for fun. Yeah.
So fun. Yeah, so right, they've joined forces for survival purposes. And then sick ass music playing as we see them journey by foot.
You just walk.
And I want us to take a note of what this what the landscape and the what kind of plants and trees and the whole environment looks like, because we're going to come back in Jurassic Park 3 and it's going to look nothing like this.
Okay.
Like a whole different regional looking place. Like this looks like what are the, there's like coniferous and deciduous whatever trees. They like, this is like very dry grass and like timbery kind of trees mm-hmm. here in the second movie. Not going to look like that in the next one, even though it's the same island, because we don't care.
Yeah. I guess.
About things connecting.
Okay.
Yes. Let's see. Okay, so we've got, yeah, they're trekking along. We get, you know, combos between people, blah, blah, blah. You know, kind of, oh, Roland's not the worst person ever. You know, he just has like, he's looking after people. They take a break because he sees Sarah. Kind of tracking blood along as she's scraping against plants, and he thinks she's injured. She's a dumbass who had T-Rex blood all
they're
up on
so
her
bad
jacket.
At this. They're so bad.
And
at
was
this.
Like,
it's
that's not a. I know we talked about T-Rex as being good
oh
at tracking, but this
thing,
isn't a thing to worry about.
Her whole thing is like, oh, T-Rexes are territorial, blah, blah. I know so much about T-Rexes. I want to prove that T-Rexes
are the largest
are like
olfactory.
And you're just
blah,
carrying
blah, blah.
Around T-Rex blood all over you. What's wrong with you?
Ugh, terrible. God. Yeah, so that's dumb. And so...
Ian,
and
you
even
have to dump
pointing
her.
Out, she, it doesn't dawn on her.
God. Oh, my
yeah.
God.
And during... this group break, we've got asshole who tased the compy guy.
Oh, yeah,
he's like,
this.
I'm gonna go take a shit in the woods, my guy. Well, wait up for me while I do that. He goes trying to find the right spot, and then what does he encounter but a compy who he like is a jerk and starts tasing again and stuff, and then he goes to start unbuckling his pants, and the whole cluster of them come out, and he keeps like trying to shoo them away. They keep following. He stumbles, they jump on him, start tearing them apart. He like rallies and then falls off. This part is like a little unclear, but I'm assuming he just fell enough to like not be able to get back up. But basically like a whole swarm of compies are tearing him apart, and we see blood like flowing into the little river water. And so he's toast. He's done. You know, as they're about to take off, they're like, where'd that guy go? And so,
yep.
And while that's all happening at camp, or at the where Sarah's sitting, Nick comes and sits next to her because Roland had like checked on her and then left his stuff near her as he went to, I don't know, do his rounds or whatever. Nick, we see the camera make note that he sees that Roland left his gun unattended,
God.
Of which we'll see the consequences of later.
These guys are
and
so
then,
stupid.
Yeah. And then, yes. Yeah. No yeah. one's like super on it. You know, safety. Who needs
like,
that?
We have this whole scene.
You can't expect the worst of each other.
We have this whole scene where this dude gets killed by these little tiny dinosaurs. This does not matter.
Yeah.
Because they just find him and they're like, oh, well, that sucks. We're down one guy. And like, listen, we're about to see a lot of that team get real thinned out in a way that makes this scene really insignificant.
Yes. So, yeah, that Roland sends the rest of them to like hit this part where they're going to camp for the night. Him and a few others stay behind and try and find that guy. And he tells, you know, the group, don't tell the little girl someone's missing. Cause right, that's like a nice thing. He's trying to look out for her so she's not scared. So we pan to nighttime. Clearly everyone is sleeping, camping, and we see, I liked the scene. It's dark, right? So you just see silhouettes and hear voices, but we see Roland get back to camp late, quiet. Malcolm and Nick join up with him and they're talking like, oh, did you find him? And Roland's like, just the pieces they didn't like. such a good line or something like that. And so, right, that's done. And then they're talking about, okay, we'll let everyone get 2 more hours of sleep and then we continue on. In the meantime, while they're all chatting about that, again with Sarah fucking it up, she's in a camp with Kelly, or a tent, and has the lamp on. She's kind of snoozing, and then she hears, right, the earth tremors, seeing her water bottle, like, you know, with the ripples, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
So she's like, oh, let me put this candy back in this bag, because that's what they're here for, the little snacks I have. And then she looks up and sees the jacket and realizes that's why this is happening, why the Rexes have returned, because she has a stupid jacket. And then T-Rex pops its head. Yes, she pops, or T-Rex pops its head in the tent. She's like freaking out quiet. So she like grabs Kelly to hush her before she wakes up. And so they're both just quivering in fear. And then freaking some guy in the camp kind of wakes up from hearing some sounds, sees the T-Rex start screaming. And then the entire camp comes awake and like is scrambling and freaking out. And we see the T-Rex like pull the tent up as it goes to see all this commotion. And we see the second Rex in the background as well. So both adult Rexes are here.
They're back, baby.
For the buffet. Yes, again, back for the, yeah. And so everyone's freaking out. T-Rex start grabbing folks. Yeah. Malcolm is able to like get back with his.
They all run.
Or let's see. Yeah, everyone runs.
One guy gets stomped.
We see a bunch of different groups. Yes, there's a group with Sarah, Nick, and Kelly with a bunch of randos who like, for some reason, think it's safe to hide in this very shallow, like, cave under a waterfall.
Yeah, they go into, like, a waterfall, and they're like, you can't get us in here. And it just gets one of them. And it's like, you can still absolutely get you in here.
Dumbass is, like, they're all hiding, and they're like, oh, cool, because, like, the T-Rex is just sticking its tongue out, which is, like, I don't feel like a T-Rex would do that. It's very weird. It's snaky, like, licking Sarah, right? And then this guy is like, oh, my God, there's a snake in my shirt. It runs directly into the mouth of this T-Rex, and the T-Rex picks it up. Crunch, blood going down the waterfall now. And then they're like, oh, God.
That they get out of every T-Rex attack because it eats someone, and they're just like, well, he's full now, so I guess he'll go away. It's like the most video game-ass thing.
Well, like, 2 seconds after that happens, it's like, oh, so something's coming, and it's Malcolm coming. It's like, surely that T-Rex is still there, like, but he's just there right away. Thanks, Nick, for looking out for his girls, and then they're regrouped now. Roland, in the meantime, is like, okay, well, bad situation. I'm going to make the best of it. I'm going to get my bull Rex now, and goes to shoot it, finds chamber empty. Nick had taken the bullets out, and he's like, bastard. And yeah, right, because he could have saved some folks at least if he had been able to get that shot in.
He couldn't get that shot in, so. But don't worry, yeah. We have another gun.
I'm fine with it. It's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah. People kind of get eaten in Jurassic Park, you know? This is like, maybe why I like this one. So many people die. It's so good. Yeah, so we get people, you know, who have survived the first, you know, wave of dinosaur terrors are like trying to now head to the place that this, you know, mark on the map is. And so they're, you know, running that way. And there's a field of tall grass. And we get Roland second in command, who I think had some more scenes that got cut in the final edit. Because he says some stuff, like he says, don't go in the tall grass, but then he proceeds to do himself. So it's like kind of confusing. I like looked into why that was, and I think just some stuff got cut.
Like, they go in this grass, and they all get ambushed by these velociraptors, and I think just, like, the entire team dies. Like, I think all those guys are just gone.
All the extras.
It's basically
yes.
just Roland and the rest of the main cast at that point. And I guess...
Yep.
What's
yeah.
his face is still
so
alive.
So our crew, yeah, freaking...
The shitty Ludlow. So it's like Ludlow and Roland survive, Roland. And everybody else gets got in this grass.
Yeah, so, but luckily our main cast make it through.
Somehow.
By the skin of their teeth.
I don't know why.
And
they
then
just run through.
They're like, oh, cool. We're at the place. Malcolm hurt himself. So he's like, they take a break for him to recover while Nick's like, I'll go ahead and send out the distress signal. And so he walks through this like abandoned work camp totally fast.
He goes through like
no
a Left
concerns,
4 Dead 2
no worries.
Map. Like, this is the most video game
yeah,
ass
for
location
sure.
that's ever happened in
yes.
Jurassic Park.
It's a location that has a lot more significance in an iconic scene in the book.
Okay.
Because in the book, this workers' camp is actually where, I don't remember the specifics of how this happened or what, but basically a like genetically altered Carnotaurus is at this camp and it can camouflage. And I don't remember how like in depth they explore, oh, how can this be blah, blah, blah in the book. But that kind of gets revisited with the Indominus Rex in Jurassic World.
Okay, that sounds way
like,
cooler than what happens here.
Yes, yes. So, because basically they're like hiding from them and stuff. But here we have, yeah, Nick Van Owen, totally fine, gets to the radio area, you know, restarts it, sends out the signal. In the meantime, Malcolm and Sarah and Kelly have like, caught back up and are now at the camp now. They're walking, relieved, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a raptor jumps on Sarah. She manages to escape its clutches, but then we have more calm. And so Sarah and Kelly get split from Malcolm, and they go to hide in this shoddy, like, metal shack while he has a soul raptor chasing him, and they have two. So we see them being like, oh, what are we going to do? The raptors are trying to dig under the door to get to us. So we'll just dig as humans. And surely we'll be able to do it faster than them. And surely they won't just come around and eat our heads off while we're crawling out on this side.
I don't understand anyone's plan in this. Like, the thing is that this is a really, like, this is a fun action sequence. The problem is that it comes on the tail of, like, three other action sequences. So by this point, I'm
yes.
extremely tired. And this one just keeps going.
It pales in comparison. Yeah. Yeah, Malcolm has like a back and forth where he like very funny. He tries to go into this glass house,
oh, yeah.
basically, and then the raptor
like,
immediately jumps into the window. So he just opens
the
door
window.
And goes back. Yeah,
it's very good.
And then so he jumps in a vehicle and it's like trying to break through the glass there. So that's him. And then the girls. Oh my. Okay, this is like one. This is like the probably the biggest. Cringiest part maybe in the entire Jurassic franchise, but basically they started climbing up the shack because the raptors right and then they're starting the raptors are starting to bust in and then somehow Malcolm is able to like reunite with them
like
and he starts climbing up the shack
where it's like everybody's on like the different levels of this place because it's like sometimes Malcolm's by
yes.
himself and then all of a sudden Sarah's by herself and then all of a sudden it's like where is everybody like people are just like moving around a lot which is like a fun thing to do with an action sequence but yeah this part it's Ian and Kelly up top right and Sarah's on the ground or something
yeah no Sarah's higher than both
oh,
of them
because okay.
They're trying to go to the roof now but basically Malcolm starts climbing, but a raptor busts in, is on the ground floor. And so Sarah sees that it's about to go for her dad. So what does she do, Joe?
cut from the gymnastics team. I don't think so. She does like a, I don't even know what you call it. Like you, like it's like the high bars where she like loops on one and then does another one and then kicks the raptor through a window. It's extremely funny.
Yeah, and then
it's so
conveniently
funny
lands
happens.
On a bunch of bikes and the things impaled.
Yeah, it's like it kills this raptor.
Yeah, so we've got one raptor down.
So it's cool when she does it, but when Roland does it, oh, he's the bad guy.
No, I'm like, this is absolutely insane and stupid.
It's so dumb. Funny.
Everyone hates it.
It's so funny.
Like, so that, like, cheesy.
We get a payoff to her being on the gymnastics team, a thing that's not even important. Like, this is a payoff to nothing. It's just like a random thing that happens. It's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we have the fun quip at the end by her dad.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So, oh, relief. So they go out the bottom floor because that's closer to where they were, where Sarah's like, I'll just go out top since I'm already up here. And so she's on the roof, and then freaking a raptor tries to jump up on it. And so she starts pulling tiles because it's, what kind of tile is this?
Yeah, it's like a roof, like a
Spanish roofing kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she starts pulling them, and then they like all come out. And so there's a raptor at her feet, and then this one on the roof falls onto that one. And so they get into a snippy fight. And so she falls, but they're so busy snapping at each other that she manages to. This is so weird. She like falls out a window, or like, it's so. This like scene is so weird.
Should have ended where
she just smoothly transitions into Malcolm's arms.
It just keeps going.
And then, oh, cool. Helicopters are here now.
Yeah,
like, sweet. We're, you know,
this is so video game because it's like there's the timer of time. It's like survive this long, and it's like throw thing to distract raptor. You can get the raptors to fight each other to get away. It's like the most just like video game thing, and then it's like the helicopter's here. Get to the extraction point.
Yes, you know, this makes me think maybe it'd be fun to do a stream where you spectate as I play through Jurassic Park the game, which was an early Telltale game before they got big. So it's a bit of a rough ride.
Okay.
But it's like a behind the scenes of the first movie to do with the Barbasol can that's left with all the embryos. It's like a whole story built around like what happens to that as new cast of characters with, like, you know, Telltale action sequence, which is slow.
One of the
and
Jurassic
and
Park
that.
Video games.
There's a lot of them.
There's a NES game, an NES game.
There's a whole pack on the Switch store for Jurassic Park games.
Wow.
Which is cool, like the old ass one.
So it's bad.
I like the Jurassic World.
Maybe we'll
Evolution
have to play
games.
Some of these.
Yeah, we should. That'd be fun. But like cheesy kind of moments in that. Is reminding me of this stuff. But yeah, so right, they're like, oh, cool,
yeah, so
sweet,
away,
we're safe. They're flying off. They look down and see that great Roland did get his Rex. One dinosaur was captured because they somehow had this extra giant cage handy, I guess, with the other copters that went
understand.
To get the other survivors.
How did they get out of there? Because he's like, we get the scene where Roland shoots the T-Rex with the Trank gun, and it takes like three shots or something to bring him down. It's cool. But then it's just like, then they get off somehow. I don't know how they get off the island. They just do.
I guess they must have. Well, because, right, they had their own probably like standby forces maybe, so they just called them in once Nick put out the caller. I don't know, whatever. Basically, they're taking the dinosaur, they're taking the T-Rex and its infant. Somehow they got their hands on that again. Daddy and baby have been acquired, and we're gonna bring them to San Diego. And we're going to make a big show of it by having a little reveal party at the dock that the boat's going to, that the cargo ship holding them is going to arrive at. Oh, this is another insane
this
part,
is so
though.
Wild.
The boat.
Like,
what happened on the boat?
The cut to, like, Ian and Sarah driving up to this boat ceremony. I'm like, what is happening? Why are they letting you in?
Because, like, how much time has passed? They've clearly showered. Yeah. They've dumped Kelly off. No more child baggage.
What's going
like, they're good
on?
To.
Like,
be
are
the
we
power
still worried
couple.
About being a good dad? Is Ian a good enough dad for the movie to end? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they're like, we gotta get in there, you know? Like, this is a stupid-ass idea. We gotta stop them from bringing this T-Rex. Whatever. So they managed to get in because Ludlow's cocky and he's like, let them in so they can see.
I'm gonna prove them wrong.
This moment.
My nemesis.
Yes.
These two people.
Yes. And so he was giving a speech, and then the like dock, I don't know, dock harbor master or something is like, hey, come here. You got to see this. And so he goes in there and they have the fancy little, I don't know, like boat battleship.
It's like, thing, yeah, it's like a carrier.
They see
boat,
the
cargo
boat,
ship,
like GPS marker. And they see it approaching the harbor, but it's not slowing down. And dumbfounded, they all just stare at that dot coming closer and closer without concern or like shock. And so they don't act.
The scene is so funny. I was losing my mind when this is happening because I'm like, holy shit, the dinosaurs took over the boat. They hijacked the boat.
Okay. But like, okay, we had to talk about it because. So boat comes, crashes into the dock. All the rich people are like, oh, no, my limo, whatever. And so that, you know, that's all the aftermath. Sarah and Malcolm are like, you know, come up. There's like police that go along with them to investigate the ship. Like, why did this happen? Fucking we see a officer go into like the helm of the ship and Ludlow's like, where's the crew? And he's like, they're everywhere. And we just somehow see severed hands holding on to the wheel of the boat. Like,
but like the only dinosaur on this boat is a T-Rex.
Did not pull off the hands with the bit through the arm.
Wait,
right?
Like, are there other?
Did the baby do this? What happened?
Where are the other dinosaurs? Is it just the T-Rex? Are there other dinosaurs?
It's just the two T-Rex, the baby
T-Rex
and the adult. That's
into
it.
Into that room. The rooms on boats are not big. A T-Rex is big. How did it? Did it like slink in? What is it doing? Was this the baby? The baby's captured later or something. Like, it's so.
The baby's crippled.
It's like, yeah, how did they kill the guts in this room? It's like this T-Rex doing like Metal Gear Solid shit where it's like sneaking around, taking guards out one by one.
Oh my God.
Until it gets the captain. Like, what is happening?
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah, it's one of the greatest mysteries of film.
Unsolved. I need a whole movie.
Oh
that's
my
like
god!
The tragedy of the dinosaur crew.
Well, because I think this whole thing does not happen in the book, but in the original book, there was a ship scene with some young raptors aboard that had snuck on board. That it would make sense. That's not what happened here.
I mean, it still doesn't make
as far
that
as we
much
know.
Sense. Because unless they stealth kill everybody, I feel like you would stop the boat if you knew that there were raptors on board, or you'd like send a message.
I have no idea. Okay, because right we go to the cargo hold. It's like obviously, the dino's trying to bust out.
Wait, it didn't even escape. Ludlow. Hold on. Wait, it's still in the cargo.
No. I think what happened is, right, there's a severed hand gripping the button holding the cargo hold closed, which I think implies that they had to reclose it because something got out, and that's what killed everyone. And somehow they managed to get it back into the cargo hold. But also that guy like died holding.
These guys are heroes.
It just makes no sense.
So it really is like a whole ordeal on the ship. We do need that ship movie where the dinosaur escapes and they get it back in, and then they die at the end. It's like Halo Reach. You know what I mean? Where it's like,
Except they immediately, to the sequel.
They immediately fumble the bag and let the dinosaur out because they're stupid.
Yeah, but basically, somehow the dinosaur got out but is now contained again. But Ludlow's an idiot, pulls the cargo hold because he wants to check that the animals are okay. So he pulls it out of that, you know, grasping with the last breath hand. And then the cargo hold, which is like, it looks really cool because like you can see like it loosens, and so the Rex like hits it once, and you see all the like rain shake off of it, and then it like blows the top open, and then we have the adult Rex loose in San Diego. Don't see the infant. Joe, because I now remember, Ludlow says that the infant was brought on a helicopter, so it has to have been adult T-Rex somehow.
It escaped, ate everybody, and then got trapped by the phantom hand. And then they immediately let it out again. This really feels like there were supposed to be more dinosaurs on this boat, and then they had to cut it for time.
Yes.
Because this makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
But then this dinosaur gets loose, and it's so funny.
Yes, right? It's going, we cut to like all the custom, like no pets, blah, 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 and it bust through the...
This is like the best scene in Jurassic Park so far, where like...
What is this? This is like the border to San Diego or California or something?
Yeah, it's just loose in California. It's just loose in San Diego. But like the scene where it like goes up to this house.
Yeah, so right, Sarah's like, okay, it's been on a bunch of sedation. It's in a catatonic... thing where it's like supposed to be real revved up. And so the first thing it's going to do is look for what its body needs, which is water. And, you know, and then what's the second thing? We cut to the dinosaur drinking out of the pool.
Out of the pool. The kid wakes up. He's like, there's a dinosaur.
Yeah. The kid in the house. Yeah. The parents are like, why are you waking me up? Freaking kid.
He's like, there's a dinosaur
in our backyard.
Like, oh my God.
Yes. So they go, they're bickering, and then they look and they see the T-Rex coming up with their dog.
With the doghouse chain.
Okay, out of irresponsible its mouth. Dog owners.
It ate the dog.
Irresponsible dog owners. They just left the dog chained outside.
It was a doghouse.
Which it was dragging the doghouse around with it. But yeah, so the dog is like kind of freaked out, but like, basically, the T-Rex grabs the dog, and we just see the doghouse, like, hanging off the chain, and then it drops, and the parents scream, and the kid takes a photo. Yeah.
This scene
the
is foresight so good.
Of that child.
This scene is so funny, because the dog's, like, barking at it, it's, like, drinking out of the pool, and then we just, like, turn back, and it's, like, eating the dog, and the parents are like, ah! It's, like, at a little shop of horrors, so, it's so funny.
Mm-hmm. It's a fun little scene, and then in the meantime, Sarah's like, okay, you know, how are we going to lure the dinosaur back to the cargo hold? Using the infant to lure it worked on the island. There's no reason to think it won't do the same now. Yes. And so they're like, hey, yo, Ludlow, where's that baby? And then the best song in Jurassic Park. Oh my God. It's so good. Starts playing as they drive up to the little, right, whatever the first park draft it was, that's where they're holding the infant. And so they grab it, they take off in their cool little red convertible. And then they're like, how are we going to find them? And Ian has the good line of like, look for the screams or follow the screams is what he says. And so then we cut to some lady, you know, freaking out in her car, crashing into other cars. We see a T-Rex like chasing and just all the citizens of San Diego freaking out, scrambling, T-Rex grabbing folks left and right. Malcolm and Sarah catch up to it. The infant has been sedated as well. So they're, you know, trying to wake it up so that it makes noise. So the Rex knows they have it. They do enough. We see he does. He you know, looks at them like, and Ian's like, oh, he knows. What? He knows we have his kid again. And so now that they're driving, T-Rex chasing them. Fun scene where Sarah's like, slow down, Malcolm. And he looks back and he's like, no, I don't think so. I think we're fine. We do not need to be any closer to this dinosaur. We have freaking cops and animal control see the dinosaur and immediately peel off in the opposite direction, and they manage to direct it back to the harbor back to, you know, and Ludlow's still there. So he sees them with the baby and they're like, hey, where are you going with that thing? Because he's been in shock because basically just set a dinosaur loose on California. So it's like game over for him. But for some reason, he's like, shoot the parent, but not the baby. I want that baby. Like, he still is going to have a way to like move forward with this plan, which is insane.
It makes no sense.
But yeah, so he's like, he's trying to follow Malcolm and Sarah on foot, who have the infant. And so they have gone through like the warehouses to get to the cargo ship. So what they do is leave the infant in the cargo hold of the ship, and then they jump off the ship. Ludlow sees the infant, and so he's like, okay, sweet, I got it. You know, trying to corral it with a baby voice. And then we have the sweet, sweet moment where the adult Rex arrives, startles him, and then he's like, you know, no, please, let me go, this and that. Adult grabs him by the leg, gives it a good crunch to cripple him, and then puts him on the ground for its infant to learn and, you know, practice killing. So then we have the infant jump on him, killing him. And then we cut to Sarah, who's gotten back on the ship with a trink gun. And then we also have a copter with like a lethal weapon aiming at the T-Rex, but Sarah manages to shoot it first in a cool sequence where we see the trank come out of the barrel of the rifle, tink, hit the Rex, and then it goes down and they close the cargo on top of it, capturing and securing the adult and infant once again. They're like, oh, cool, sweet. And then we cut Sarah, Malcolm snoozing on the couch, Kelly looking at them, watching TV as a news report tells us that we're not taking any second chances this time. We're going to take them back to the island. And let's hear from John Hammond talking about how we need to preserve these animals. Happy ending. Yay.
It's nonsense. It's nonsense. I can't believe John Hammond gets to go on TV and be like, oh, yes, these dinosaurs are so good.
Yes, we need, you know, respect and leave, let them be, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah. Happy ending. Dinosaurs, T-Rexes reunited with mom. They're all doing their thing. We get like a little scene of a bunch of dinos out on the plains. And yeah, that's the end of Jurassic Park, The Lost World.
So, Sarah, you like Jurassic Park. What do you think about this movie?
I do enjoy it. Honestly, none of them, I don't think any of the Jurassic movies are like, the first movie is the only like good, incredible movie. The rest are just like fun watching cool visual effects, you know? Uh-huh. Sometimes with endearing characters. This movie benefits from Jeff Goldblum, who is always a pleasure to watch on screen, and good music. You know, like the dinosaurs hold, they still look good and hold up. And I do like that there's more. I like all the folks getting eaten by dinosaurs. So that's why this is ranked as my second out of the JP series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cause as you know, as a kid, I just remember people being like, oh, this one isn't that good. And then I would watch Jurassic Park and be like, yeah, this is fun. But watching Jurassic Park as 3 as an adult, I'm like, this is a bad planned movie, you know? So in comparison, this one, because for a long time we just had the 3. So Jurassic Park, The Lost World was my second best and 3 was the worst. But we now have, you know, 3 new entries, another one on the way.
Mm-hmm.
So the order has been disrupted a little bit, but you think you'll like Jurassic Park 3 more than The Lost World?
I don't know, because I don't really remember anything about Jurassic Park 3. This movie just has nothing going on.
It's just absurd. The San Diego. Well, basically, from what I've seen, Steven Spielberg was like, OK, this is the last Jurassic movie I'm going to get to direct. I want to see dinosaurs, you know, on the mainland. So I'm just going to add that, make that happen so that I can make that. And then I think he's just like producer or something on the third one.
Yeah. Like, the plot of this is just, it, like, makes no sense, really. It does really feel like there's just a lot of, it's just like a bunch of action scenes, really. Because, I mean, that's the part that's good, right? Is, like, throwing roofing tiles at velociraptors. That's why I'm here. But it's like all of the other plot beats are weird. The part where like Roland is like, I caught my T-Rex, but I am not fulfilled, and thus I am going to sadly mope away. It's like, what? Why is he like a guy we care about?
Yeah, well, because his buddy got eaten too. But also, never see him again. Never see Nick again. They're both gone after the island.
And then Ludlow's just getting himself killed for no reason. Like, they're, all this stuff is, like, everyone's just acting really cartoonish in ways that I'm, like, I don't really understand. Vince Vaughn's character was confusing. Like, Sarah's whole deal was weird. And, like...
Yes.
Again, I feel like Sarah and Nick caused everybody to get killed in this movie. It's just like unequivocally it's their fault. I'm just like, yep, it is their fault. So I don't know, this one's weird.
I watched the trailer for it and it was a very strange, because they had like, it was like the text they were using with like lightning effects to make the text cool animated and stuff was like very peculiar and did not like suit.
It doesn't feel thought out.
Because like, well, one, Jurassic Park, the original, you can't top that. So, like, this is never going to be as good. But, and I don't know. Like, I think the movie got a lot more hate than was warranted.
It's not even like,
you know, there are fun ideas, parts. Though. No.
Like, this is the thing where it's like,
you just gotta, they're like so loosely connected.
Like, it's not even doing like aliens to alien kind of thing, right? Where like that movie, that sequel just switches genres. Like, Alien, the first movie, is a horror movie, and Aliens is an action movie. This is kind of not, it's like still doing the same Jurassic Park thing, but with no context and none of the, like, you know, ideas or like satire-y kind of thing about it. Like, there's just none of that. It's just like, what if we took this one part of the movie where those velociraptors chase the kid into the kitchen and made that the whole movie? And there's like, even the thing, like, I joked at the beginning, I'm just like, oh, is this going to be a movie about Ian becoming a good dad? And that doesn't even ever really happen anyway. Like, Kelly kicks that velociraptor, and then she's basically out of the movie. It's weird. There's no character development in any of this.
I mean, this is, like, right, we're thinking about it, and so it's very easy to point out the things. Jurassic Park 3, even, like, casually watching it, there's, like, a lot of, like, well, that's crazy, or like, that makes no sense. Yeah. But that also is a very troubled production. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe it's just like rushed, or like they just wanted cash grab.
It feels hacked together. It's like what you're saying about oh, his second in command died, and that like really affected him. Which like I could believe if we ever saw him and his second in command interact in a way that felt like it matters.
Well, tragically, like I think maybe it's just the first two. I don't know if the third one too, but there's like because this was VHS originally, but you know, ideally you have DVD and then you have cool like cut scenes and stuff. But Universal Studios had a fire that like destroyed all the footage from these movies. Oh. So they could never add like behind the scenes or cut scenes to those things. Tragically, because I know, you know, I've seen there's, you know, because you can like pull up scripts and like, oh, there's a scene introducing Roland and his guy with like, you know, their cool, fun character intro, kind of where they're getting offered the job and stuff, but we don't see that. And then there's like a prequel to like talking about, you know, it's like an engine meeting before they even go to the island. Stuff like that. So,
yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's a weird movie.
Yeah. So, you know, you could sacrifice, there's so many, like, basically, the second half of the movie is all action. You know, you could afford to lose one or two of those that weren't as strong for the sake of making sense.
Yeah, but like, I don't know, because I think about sequels and like what I would do with a sequel. It's weird that they didn't introduce a new dinosaur. I mean, I guess they had the little guys. But are those the same little guys that showed up in one? Well, I feel like you need to have a new dinosaur. Like, you were saying that they had the camouflage one. They should have put that in this movie.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just like that would be a nightmare to visually create or something.
I guess. But it's just like...
It's incredibly different from the book. So I don't think they use very much from the book for this.
It's just, it's all T-Rex and Velociraptor. But I feel like we got our Raptor fill and T-Rex fill in the first movie, you know?
Yeah. Yep. For sure.
It's just weird.
We definitely get new ones in Jurassic Park 3, at least. We get those, and we get the Spinosaurus.
There weren't even that many ancillary dinosaurs that you just see walking around in this one. You see them at the beginning when we get
that game trail part is the only part where we see a bunch
of
them.
This is a weird sequel.
That's it. That's Jurassic Park The Lost World.
All right, the current ranking, 1-2.
That's
I'm
right.
I'm not that hot on this one.
Yes. No. Well, we'll see. There's fun.
I didn't hate it.
There's some crazy.
This movie is wild in the way that I think of dumb blockbuster as being wild. You know, this is a dumb blockbuster, right? This is you put this on TV in the background and you look over when the T-Rex thing is happening and the car is falling and you're like, yeah, that's cool. And then you can look away again because it doesn't really matter what happens in between that. That is this movie, which is totally fine. And I guess kind of what the franchise becomes. But compared to the first movie where it's you really got to pay attention to what everybody's saying and all the characterization is there and these little hints, foreshadow stuff, that is just not happening in this movie.
Well, also, I think there's a lot of ideas of what this would be. And Steven Spielberg, he had wanted it to be about the abandoned stolen DNA in the first one, build something around that, which would make more sense and tie it more closely to the first movie. So maybe some of the elements of that would have been carried over. But I don't know. I don't know why they switch it up, but yeah, or maybe they just, I could imagine that Ian Malcolm, Jeff Goldblum was a huge popular character, and so they really wanted to bring him back for this one because people just loved him, if only to get them to come to the movie and see it.
I don't know if you can really carry the movie though.
So that's that.
The Lost World thoughts. We'll be watching Jurassic Park 3 next. Do you have anything closing?
That's right. Happy. Thanks for spoiling me and letting us talk about stuff I like that has no relation to shoujo. We'll do something you related next. You can make me watch a Gundam old one or something.
No, we're just having fun with these bonus episodes. We got some other bonus episodes in mind that we'll do at some point. Some of them are tied in, some of them aren't. We might be reading some manga soon, who knows. We're definitely going to keep watching the Jurassic Park movies. We're going to try to get through some, so maybe we can catch
the new one
in theaters. We'll see how that goes. Yep.
Rebirth.
Yeah. So.
Cool.
There it is. Well, thanks for
until then
to our bonus episodes.
Yeah.
They're fun.
Yes, we had fun, and we hope you had fun listening. Yeah. Catch you next time.
Bye.